This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the Morning Run. Julian Ng here with Lin Mark and Charles Abdullah. And looking at the closes in the U.S. market, the U.S. markets were lower. Dow Jones by 0.1%, S&P also, and NASDAQ both marginally lower because of results from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup failed to thrill investors.
Asian markets were also pretty mixed yesterday. So Japan's Nikkei jumped quite high, 1.4%. The Kospi was up 0.4%, but the Hong Kong's Hang Seng and Shanghai's Composite were both down 0.3%. Singapore's STI down 0.2%, while the FBM KLCI eked into the green. They finished 0.1% higher.
And speaking about Goldman Sachs and as well as Citigroup, they've reported their quarterly results as earnings season gets underway. So both banks showed sharp declines in earnings compared with the first quarter of last year. So Goldman, they've revealed 21% decline in net earnings, falling short of their estimate, and they were dragged down by falling trading revenues as well as lower private equity profits, shrinking transaction revenues in its investing as well as lending division.
And on the back of the results, CEO David Solomon said that he would wait until the first quarter of 2020 before providing a comprehensive strategic update, which will detail a three-year plan for Goldman's continued transformation from a trading powerhouse to a more diversified bank that offers everything from retail banking to cash management for companies.
We have Tony Nash on the line. He's CEO of Complete Intelligence, calling us from the United States. And Tony, thanks for joining us. So these results from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup are not very good. What do you make of this, given the recent strong job numbers that we've seen? Do you think that these numbers are at odds with those job numbers?
A bit. I think it really has to do more about growth than just the steady economy. So, these guys are really looking at, their consumer institutional businesses performing well, but they're just not seeing other parts of the business really backfill into kind of a steadying economy in the U.S.
And Goldman Sachs may be one of those bellwether banks in the U.S. stock market. It said that they would go for comprehensive strategic update. What do you think this involves?
Well, look, he's a new CEO, right? It's only his second earning announcement since David Solomon came in. So I think what he's trying to do is get his arms around the business, understand, what's happening in the U.S. business environment primarily. But, we've got a global business environment that's slowing in Asia, slowing in Europe, and kind of steadying in the U.S. And so it's fundamentally different from the previous regime at Goldman, where you had pretty good growth for the last, let's say 7-8 years, especially the last 3 years. So, he's taking over. He's trying to adjust the bank in a way that they can look into the 2020s and continue their stellar growth. I mean, Goldman is a solid company. It's kind of hard to argue with that.
And what are your feelings or sentiments going forward from the indications from the banking results currently for the U.S. stock market and indeed for market performance around the world?
Well, look, we saw the pullback in December and then we saw a comeback in Q1. That comeback was partly on the back of, understanding that the December pullback, I'm talking about in equity markets particularly, was a little bit oversold. So you had a comeback on that. You had a realization that things in the U.S. weren't as bad as the Fed job results, so things came back in March. You also had massive stimulus come out of China in Q1. It was something like 9% of Chinese GDP put out in terms of loans. So you had a massive injection of cash into the second largest economy in the world, which really helped kind of goose economic performance. But the real question is, will we see things kind of deteriorate, say, starting in Q3? So that injection will help in, say, Q2 in China. And so if you're a bank, if you're a Goldman or a Citibank, and you see this type of stimulus coming out in Asia, that's great for now, but it's relatively short term. And so, they're looking at, again, shifts with, let's say, ECB monetary policy. ECB believes that those economies will come back in the second half of the year. Every economist says that at this point of the year, when they're not seeing the results they need coming out of Q1. They always say, well, we'll see things catch up in the back half of the year. The fact is, we don't see things coming back in the back half of the year in Europe. So if you're a CEO of Goldman or a Citigroup, you're looking at the global economy saying, wait a minute, we need to find strength somewhere, and we need to reassess, because places where we've put resources, like parts of Asia that have been strong for the last 15 years, may be slowing down. So those types of strategic assessments and reassessments need to be done at a place like Goldman.
Also, Tony, Mario Draghi expressed some concerns about central bank independence in response to Donald Trump's tweets that the Fed is not reducing interest rates quickly enough. How do you think this will play out in terms of interest rate direction?
Okay. What's really interesting is, I think Trump's tweets get people to defend the Fed, right? Regardless of what Trump says, the media consensus always says the opposite thing. He's playing the media here in the U.S. He wants the media to reinforce what the Fed's doing. And no matter what he says, they always say the opposite. So, going into, say, 2019-2020 election cycle, the last thing he wants is the media to say, if only we had looser monetary policy, we would have a healthier economy. Okay. So what he's doing is saying, if the Fed would just loosen up, we would be doing better. And then what happens? Media, banks, other people in the U.S. say, oh, no, we're doing just fine. The Fed has the right policy. And so he's getting that validation before going into the election cycle. And so Draghi's got his own problems to worry about in Europe. I mean, Europe is a mess right now. When you look at bank debt, you look at the level of consumer debt in places like Southern Europe, you look at the lack of growth, look at the Brexit issues. Draghi has plenty to worry about and should really focus at home.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. And I think that this will continue to play out. Trump tweeting that the Fed is not very responsive on interest rates, and that's hurting the economy. This is really at the core the issue about central bank independence as well as inflation rates, right? Whose territory it is to control growth and control the economic inflation rate.
Yeah, so I mean, we're looking at, as he said, President Trump, he's been very vocal criticizing Fed's decision, and also has accused Chairman Jerome Powell of not doing enough to encourage the U.S. economy. But all this tweet and all this talk is just mainly to prop himself up or get himself ready for the next election.
And also, I think that this is a very important discussion. Do you think that the economic policy should be left to technocrats, or is this the purview of the government to decide where the economic direction goes?
I think if we're judging by Trump's nominations to the board, he does seem to be injecting a political angle into the central bank's decision making. Because if you take a look at his candidates, Stephen Moore and Herman Cain, they both. I don't think either of them has a background in economics, but they are both staunch members of the Republican Party. And one of the concerns that has been raised about Stephen Moore in particular is that if you look at his policy stance on the Fed from when Barack Obama was president and now from when Trump is president, they have been markedly different. So some commentators are interpreting it as very much a politically driven decision. So
cronies. I mean, these guys are basically cronies.
Essentially.
Of
so if they wind up in the Fed board, then that would essentially be taking that cronyism into what should be an independent body.
And I mean, it was interesting how Tony was referring to Draghi to focus on Europe and what a mess it is, how much of a mess Europe is at the moment. But, it's important to look into, whether or not Fed is independent. So, I mean, if you look at how the system is, how the Constitution is, the monetary decision for Federal Reserve, they don't have to be ratified by the President. And the Fed does not receive any funding from the Congress, so there's no money coming from them. And also, if you look at the terms of the member of the board, they get reappointed every 14 years. So they go across the board, they go across all the presidents, in that sense, trying to protect themselves from any influence from the President.
I think this is really really a conundrum because the policy motives are vastly different between the central bank, which is all about monetary supply and inflation, and the government is all about keeping jobs up as well as supporting the social classes and so on. And they're really dealing with average numbers, right? Because GDP growth is an average number. Some people will have a much higher GDP growth personally, and some people are going through personal recessions. So how do you come up with an average policy that's good for everybody? And the central bank itself, dealing with inflation, I mean, Malaysian Central Bank, I guess, works very closely in hand with the government. And fortunately, there is a certain amount of checks and balances there in the sense that the government does not, well, I may be jumping the gun here, short of any investigations into the previous 1MDB regime, right? But central banks, by and large, worked closely together with the government to maintain the economy. But in Europe and the US, they are fiercely independent. So how do you come up with a single policy that would benefit the rakyat, right, over in the US and over in the Europe? Because if you're too focused on inflation, then you might not have enough money supply to spur growth in other areas of the economy.
Yeah, and so I guess it's if you compare both Malaysia as well as Malaysia to US, there are striking differences. I guess we look at in the past, for example, in the case of 1MDB, perhaps on the purchase of the land of 2 billion. I mean, that's one form of intervention from central bank. But now, there are talks about possible Bank Negara reducing interest rate in the next few weeks. So all that is
just talk.
Just talk at the moment. But it rests into the data that's been coming out from inflation rate as well.
Okay, yeah, we're going to take a break now. And BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.